Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for $40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid for in plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16/72/1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by audio. Reward card requires online registration.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Spotlight Show. I'm the host, Sean Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, Neil Haley, and also at Periscope, at TotalTutor. And the Spotlight Show on Monday nights is always interesting when I welcome the program author Rob Roselli. Rob, how are you?
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Hey, man, we're getting through it, you know, especially with the craziness that's going on in our world, and I have a lot of different topics to discuss tonight, because there's a lot of news out there, isn't there, that is interesting, especially what your perspective is on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as predicted, I mean, things are just getting crazier and crazier. There's really no other way to put it right now.
Right, exactly. So let's jump right to the first one. And again, that was the massacre that occurred at that school in Oregon. And this has led to a rampage about gun control. How are you weighing in on this issue, Rob? Especially, you know, just the fact of the matter is that everyone's jumping to conclusions saying, you know, we need to make sure that that we should eliminate guns altogether, you know, make it so difficult to get guns and then this tragedy that happened.
Well, you know, first of all, I mean, obviously, you know, prayers and sympathies for the victims of this tragedy. I mean, that goes almost without saying. But as far as the tragedy itself, I mean, the usual predictable cast of characters, you know, the anti-gun crowd is out saying you have to eliminate guns, even though the school where this happened was a so-called gun-free zone. It's a joke. So obviously, once you have that, and apparently, you know, this nut job, he was he acquired his guns legally. He went through all, he didn't raise any red flags and any of his background checks. So of course, the anti-gun crowd, I mean, their only choice left is to, you know, is for outright confiscation, which seems
right
to be what they're calling for. You know, but of course, you know, the old adage, I mean, the only way to stop a guy with a gun is someone else with a gun. You know, a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. So that's not acceptable because the people, they're not really concerned about the guns per se. They're concerned about their political views. They don't like the ideas with people with guns for whatever reason. I mean, look, starting, you know, top down with the government, I mean, the reason they don't like people with guns is because, let's face it, I mean, the Second Amendment, it was created, it was put in there because the founders of this country were paranoid about government. And they knew the ultimate check on unhindered government power, i.e. Hitler, Mao, Pol Pot, and these kinds of people, was a heavily armed citizenry. You know, of course, there were ancillary benefits, hunting, you know, protection from Indians and this sort of thing. But that really, the main reason was just that. And, you know, people have read the quotes about, you know, from Hitler and Mao and saying, you know, the last thing, you know, you want, if you want to be a dictator, is people with guns. So this explains why, the real reason why progressives and liberals and these sorts of people who don't believe in God, believe the state is God, I don't want people to have guns. They don't want resistance when it comes down to it. And it's as simple as that. So you have that in the background. And then you go to the guy himself. And apparently, there's other news stories out there. His Facebook page or whatever he was involved with, he only had two friends apparently, and one of them was someone connected to the terrorist group, the American supported and founded terrorist group, ISIS, which will probably roll into that at some point, I would imagine. So you have that going on, and then you just have the amoral state of this country. You have that running here too. I mean, just there's no recourse, there's no remorse. The video games, these TV shows, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, our media, our social media, computer games is nothing but an ongoing video sewer. Of decadence, violence, and this sort of thing. And people, even my age, I'm in my mid-40s, I mean, you just remember growing up, the TV shows that were on.
Exactly, to now. Watch ABC today, and the soft porn, which is Dancing with the Stars, to every television show. I wouldn't want my children watching this programming, and what happened to family programming. But also look at the violent shows that are out there, and they're teaching these psychopaths how to do it, pretty much, right? Well,
yeah. I mean, they're encouraging it. They're sanitizing it, and it's cool, and all this sort of thing. And look, the army, the military. I mean, when they train, they're training people to kill. And one of the tools they use are video killing, video like games. You can't say that doesn't have an influence, especially, I remember, I mean, you're talking 18 or 22-year-old recruits, and a lot of these video games are for kids. I mean, look for example, look at this Grand Theft Auto. Look at these video games.
Oh, yeah.
These commercials. And how any parent will let their kids have these games, I don't know, and they're produced. But that's an example or an indicator of where we are culturally. So you have all these things working together. And it produces someone like this, and it's going to keep happening. Unfortunately, it's going to keep happening, especially if Obama, our so-called president, allows hundreds of thousands of so-called Syrian refugees into the country. You're going to start having more and more of this kind of thing. Look like they're having in Europe. It's just that simple. And you start to see it already in many parts of the country.
Well, let's touch upon, there's a lot of issues that you touched upon, but first of all, just because, how would this case scenario, that the man used the correct measures to obtain a weapon, would, if we had gun control, stop this man from having weapons, Rob, unless you take them all together away, altogether?
Well, that's the theory. Like everything else, progressive or liberal, it's utopian in outlook. It's childish. It's really, it all sounds good, and everything, ice cream, flowers, and butterflies in liberal world. It's really an immature mentality. So everybody's equal, and everybody has a right to to dignify living, and all this kind of crap that the liberals, that sound good, and who would disagree with it, but the reality is it never works out that way. It's the same thing here. I mean, take all the guns away and everybody's going to kiss and be friends, and the government's going to be perfect and this sort of thing, but it's not reality. I mean, and I read another news story that said that, the number of knife killings with knives was something like five times the amount of those killed with guns. So you got those kinds of things going on too, but nobody's out there banning knives, because again, it's not really about the victims. The victims are a cover or a facade for what the real ulterior motive is, which is the elimination of guns so that the citizenry has absolutely no means to resist a tyrannical government, which is what progressives really love, because when it comes back down to it, when the government is God, and of course they're the government, therefore they are God, and really it's just that simple.
Right, and that's for true. So when we talk about our video games, we talk about specifically enough. Let's all the different things are going on. ISIS. Now, why aren't we hearing this in the mainstream media that he could have belonged to ISIS?
Well, it's, you know, again, you can only go on what I read. You know, nothing is confirmed. And, you know, everybody knows the media in this country is an absolute joke. It just repeats the government lie. And in the case of, you know, Obama, it just, it's gotten even more bizarre and even worse. But there were some stories that made it out there. Pamela Geller, which, you know, a woman who,
yes, right,
who I believe is very, you know, very brave. A lot of people hate her because, you know, she's an Islamophobe and all this kind of thing. And I think anybody that wants to keep their head on their shoulders, figuratively and literally, is pretty much an Islamophobe. But anyway, you know, I read a couple stories by her where she said that claims and you know, screenshots and this sort of thing, because the government, of course, goes in and scrubs everything, and the hack media is not going to report on it. But like I mentioned this before, was that apparently he only had two Facebook friends, and one of them was someone connected to the so-called ISIS terrorist group, which I've already stated is really a United States creation. So that's really, to me, that's really disturbing. And the media, they can try to cover it up and hide it for now. But the fact of the matter is, these kinds of things are going to keep happening, and they're going to have a hard time keeping the lid on what's really going on, if that is in fact the case. And again, I'm relying on other sources. But, so...
Right, and that's Pamela Geller, and I'd love to interview Pamela. If you're listening to the program, I'll have to definitely reach out, and Robin, I would love to interview her for sure. Looking at the other portion, mental health. If this guy or any of them are crazy, and if they're criminals, do you think someone who's crazy is not going to figure out a way to get the weapon off the black market? How difficult is it just to go into a certain place with cash on the black market and get the same weapons, right, Rob?
Yeah, and again, I'm not a criminal expert in this sort of field, but it's like anything else. I mean, the criminals are always going to get the guns. Really, the only ones that are going to end up confiscating the guns from are the law-abiding citizens of this country, and the demographic of gun owners in this country is of course, you know, the conservative Christian American, which the Northeastern and the far left coast liberals loathe anyway. That's just an ongoing kind of social / intellectual, let's call it, clash in this country, you know, the so-called red states and Northeastern liberal elites. So, but yeah, they'll never be able to fully control guns, and they know that. And again, and I'll say it again, because the reason isn't about gun control per se. It's not about the victims. It's about the guns themselves and the government wanting to control things without any resistance at all. And as far as your other question is, in regards to the mental health, you know, look, I mean, we can get into big pharma or a big pharmaceutical company. Sure. They're pushing all these drugs, but you know, it's all ties together, because you take God out of the classroom, you take it out of society, and we touched on this just before. You know, you get this video sewer, this general sewage, this spewing of sewage coming out of the computers, the video games, the TV, and all this other nonsense, influencing kids, the lack of remorse. Remember now, we all evolved from slime and nothing, so we're basically...
Right.
Chemical garbage, so life becomes meaningless, you know, i.e. Adolf Hitler and this sort of thing. Plus, as far as the pharmaceutical companies, there's a profit motive involved. It's just like with vaccines and, you know, it's the same thing. You know, vaccines are nothing but a literal concoction of if you want to that, I mean, you know, it's just literal sewage that you inject directly into people's veins and call it medicine. And that's basically what vaccines are. So you take these so-called antidepressants. Now, people are so depressed because, you know, there is no hope, there's no God, you know, everything's violence and sex. you know, drug, sex, rock and roll. It sounds good, but after a while, there's no satisfaction in that. There's no gratification. There's hopelessness. It is really underneath all that. So people end up going are going crazy anyway. And then you take antidepressants. And how many times have we read?
Yeah.
Maniac on antidepressants, because all antidepressants are doing are covering over or masking the effects of depression. In other words, you're imbalancing your, you're trying to rebalance, you know, an imbalanced mental state. So it's almost like a drug addict keeping a drug addict on his high. As soon as he comes off that high, you know, he goes into all kinds of withdrawals, and that's basically the situation with antidepressants. You're treating a spiritual and a moral vacuum, a human condition created with drugs, you know, with the big pharmaceuticals. And, you know, big pharmaceuticals, you know, why wouldn't they step in? They're making billions and billions off the antidepressant market. And
exactly. So when we get back, Rob, we're going to get to another topic. But we'll get to mental health issues, I'm sure, on this show every week. And what I think is the most interesting is Rob's point of view. You have a member of the media on the Total Education Network giving us your take on specific issues that we don't hear in the mainstream media. We don't hear on Fox News. We don't hear on CNBC. And a lot of times, if you uncover it, it's true. When we get back, more Total Spotlight Show. You're listening to the Total Spotlight Show with Neil Haley and Rob Priscilli, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalZooter.net for more information. Twitter, TotalZooter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalZooter, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley. And October's here. So let's go to what we call FEMA and the flooding and Hurricane Joaquin. And, Rob, why the government is never able to stop any of these natural disasters? You hear thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars spent, and nothing ever happens. Why, Rob?
Well, because the government, you know, government is inherently bad at whatever it does. You know, at best, government is an inefficient, bloated, just amoral mass of incompetence that tries to solve problems, and I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt, but it really can't, because it's just like anything else. I mean, it gets to the core issue. Because there's no motivation in government to do the right thing. All right, and you get these cost overruns. There's no incentive to save money. There's no incentive to solve problems. Because if you didn't have problems, then you wouldn't have any reason to exist. So when government's involved, problems are never solved, nothing ever happens efficiently, nothing ever happens correctly. The only thing that the government does well, and not even that anymore, in this country with Obama and his Ivy League maniacs running the military, is the military. I mean, and that's because of the people that selflessly join and volunteer for the military. It's not government per se. The United States did have the finest military in the history of the world before this crew came to power. But that's the reason. I mean, it's this reason socialism. I mean, again, it goes back to what I was saying before. It's an immature, utopian, six-year-old Peter Pan mentality that thinks that the government and socialism works, so the government can come in and solve all our problems. And again, I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I'm talking from the typical liberal. You know, I'm not saying all liberals are evil and all this sort of thing. It's just it's an infantile or an infant's mentality that operation here, and it just cannot solve problems. In the case of FEMA, look, I mean, we saw what happened in New Orleans with that whole debacle, Katrina back there in 2005, and then what FEMA tried to do, and, you know, with the trailers, with the moldy trailers and all this sort of thing, and even, you know, you look at an organization like the EPA, an Environmental Protection Agency, and I'll say it again, I mean, I believe in the concept of the EPA. But the problem is, once liberals get their hands on the organization, it becomes a tool of oppression rather than a tool of logical, technical people applying rules to, you know, to protect the environment. And it just becomes this bloated bureaucracy of rules to just beat people down extra constitutionally or outside the bounds of the Constitution. So it's just not... It's like anywhere else. I mean, you know, look at the old Soviet Union. I mean, you
right.
talk about this logically. You're just, I mean, look, you know, okay, you had zero unemployment in the old Soviet Union, and you had zero unemployment in George Orwell's 1984. That's great. It's just, there's no incentive to do anything because you're getting paid.
Right, to do whatever. With no performance,
whether you do nothing, whether you do nothing or you're, you know, you achieve perfection. You're getting paid the same. So human nature, being what it is, you know, why should you work if you're getting paid $100 a year, whether you sit on your tuchus or you work your butt off? Most people are gonna, you know, choose the former, and that's, you know, again, that's human nature, and it's. And it ultimately, again, it all comes back to the same thing. It's not about helping people. It's about control. The more people you can put on the government dole or,
right, exactly.
or work for the government, it's just they become dependent on the government and they vote for the government. And this is the exact sort of thing that our founders warned about. And it is a form of slavery. It's not, you know, it's not outright physical slavery that we had in this country for a time, which was happening, you know, around the world. It was still and still is happening, by the way, you know, which is another topic I'm going to get into at one point. But anyway, it is a form of slavery because now people are dependent on the teat of government,
right.
like little calves and little piglets. And that's what they're going to vote to keep in power. I mean, you know, the liberal politician calls it compassion, but thinking people and know that it's not about compassion; it's about control and controlling people. And you know, and that's it's just a joke, and that's why the government, be it FEMA or any of these organizations, the so-called Department of Education, the CDC, you know, Centers for Disease Control, which is nothing but an arm of Big Pharma, which we talked about a little bit before. These organizations never work, and why the founders, again, we keep going back to the same thing. Remember a couple shows ago we said, you know, ultimately
right.
people are going to be ruled by the Bible or the bayonet. Well, you take the Bible out, what you're left with is a figurative and cases where it's going today, the literal case of the bayonet where, you know, you're forced to the government at gunpoint and knife point is really what it all comes down
right.
to.
Okay. You know, what's interesting is you talk about your fear of socialism or communism and government control. Look at Mr. Bernie Sanders and this whole Democratic race. Bernie Sanders is calling for 92% tax rates for businesses. When I heard this, I said, really, am I hearing this these years? It's going to be interesting, Hillary and Bernie debating each other, as Hillary will have to go to the center or close to the right, take out Bernie Sanders for the Democratic process. But can you believe 92%? He really thinks that's going to make businesses want to stay here?
You know, look, I mean, you know, to use a synonym of a biblical word, I mean, you know, the words in the Bible, you know, fool and brutish and any sorts of words, they mean stupid. All right, you know, Proverbs 1, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but fools lack or fools resist instruction. Okay, that's Proverbs chapter 1. That's a guy like Bernie Sanders, right? The guy's just a jerk off. I mean, I don't know what else to say. You know, again, it's this 6-year-old utopian mentality. You know, we're gonna confiscate your money. How about this? It's mandatory compassion. How about that for Orwellian?
Right, right.
It's compassion at gunpoint. You're not voluntarily giving up. You know, out of the goodness of your heart. You know, like say in Acts chapter 5. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Government, the compassion progressive are coming to take your wealth at with the IRS, and if that doesn't work at gunpoint, and in the case of real estate taxes, if you don't pay for free public education, we're going to come take your house and just redistribute it to people. And then it just ties back to what we just talked about. Once you give people something for nothing, there's no incentive to do anything, and then they become like the docile animals that you see at the zoo. I mean, the lion is so-called king of the jungle. You put it in a zoo long enough, and you cage and you feed it enough, and you feed it enough, it loses its vigor and its self-reliance, and it becomes dependent on the zookeeper. And it's exactly what this is. I mean, Bernie Sanders is one of two things. The guy is either a complete idiot, which is possible, or he's just pure evil. Because he wants to control people, and instead of coming out right and just saying it, he's going to do it through this utopian, immature mental midget mentality of, everybody's going to be equal in my society, and I'm going to take from the so-called
right, exactly. To think about 90%. What if he's trying to talk about going back to the Carter days of taxes for I guess local small businesses and individuals and stuff? That's a pretty scary thing. Pretty much saying, well, we're going to give everybody these handouts, which is going to lead to almost like communism. Now let's look at someone else in the news that now I'm hearing that there are Democrats ready to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, where we're going with this Donald Trump phenomenon is just unbelievable. And the guy has no policy so far. He has other people's ideas, yet he's Donald Trump, Rob. Where do you think that's going? Because, Trump has a lot of center-to-left views. He won't kind of say it, but he just comes up with it at times. Is he a viable candidate, or should we be concerned with his egotistical maniac idealism and his lack of compassion at times?
Well, I mean, look, where I stand, hopefully, at this point. I mean, all these candidates ultimately are a joke. Because if nobody is out there, and Ron Paul was the only one that was saying it. There's nobody out there and we need to audit and ultimately expose and expunge the so-called Federal Reserve System. If they're not saying that, if they're not coming out right and saying that's really at the heart of our problem here, we need to get rid of that, then as far as I'm concerned, they're a joke. Now, and of course, Trump he's not going to come out and say that because he does not want to be cast off as a conspiracy kook. So, again, who our real criminal masters are, and this is, again, why I think, a guy like Bernie Sanders, he's just a sorry sack of you-know-what out there touting his socialist utopian dreams. And Trump he's a little bit better. I mean, the reason Trump is getting so much traction is because he is saying the things that the American citizens want to hear. And I'm not saying he's wrong, okay? Border control, controlling the borders. He's not anti any racial group. He just wants basic immigration laws enforced, as has been the history of this country. You just can't have unfettered access to the United States. Anybody knows that. That's a recipe for disaster for everybody involved, okay, including the illegal immigrants. He's saying those kinds of things. He's, bring America back, bring American jobs back. And he might be genuine in his desire, okay? But again, if you're not going to come out right and say we have it's a mathematical certainty that our economy will collapse unless we get rid of the Federal Reserve System, then as far as I'm concerned, ultimately the man is a joke.
All right, so we'll get back. We're going to continue. We'll go to Hillary's emails, to any other news that's going on. Rob Roselli has some great comments and topics. Donald Trump, I still am concerned about Donald, that he really is not a true conservative, and that he's going to change. He'll do whatever he wants once he gets elected, and he'll just be like Obama, like going for to just be on TV and giving a bunch of talk and no action. You're listening to Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network. We'll get back more. Rob Roselli will be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Spotlight Show on the Total Education Network again. TotalTutor.net for more information. On Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google+. And I'm with Rob Roselli, author, You can go to boxofsunglasses.com to purchase books, or follow him at Rob Roselli. Now, Rob, let's talk about Ms. Hillary's emails. 60% of the country says they do not trust Hillary Clinton right now. Is that going to help? If you think of anyone's ever won the election with that many people against who's, what she's doing?
You know, look, if the media wants you, if they want you in power, you're going to get elected, okay? And in the case of someone like Hillary, she's a Bilderberg member, her and Bill. I mean, they're elitist. They're in the club all the way. I happen to think she's a couple rungs lower. I mean, she actually takes a job like the presidency seriously because she's a megalomaniac, in general. And as far as – but the problem she's having right now is this email scandal, so-called scandal, is so egregious. It's so blatant, blatantly illegal that even the media is having a hard time covering up for her. And it's really, it's just that simple. I mean, it's a burgeoning crisis, and she's got a lot of baggage. But she's just Obama. She's the female version of Obama when it comes down to it. And Bernie Sanders, they're all the same. I mean, the first.
I think Bernie's a little different. So, but if we could talk about, but Hillary's untrustworthy. Have you ever remembered a president running office and winning that's considered untrustworthy by the bulk of Americans?
Nothing surprises me. I mean, look, the floor is gone in this country. We're basically in societal free fall. We're an electronic 21st version of Roman Empire. I mean, the Roman Empire took
right.
A couple of centuries to ultimately fail, but that's because, news didn't travel as fast and things didn't happen as quickly in the Roman world as they are happening in the electronic 24-hour news cycle, video game, video sewage that we have today. So the history's accelerating, but the principle's the same. So to answer your question, it wouldn't surprise me if she gets up there and promises enough goodies to enough people.
Right.
Enough illegal.
Will she get the nomination, Rob? Will she get the nomination, Rob, you think? They're Democratic.
Unless her crimes get so egregious that there's just no way to hide them anymore, of course she's going to get the nomination. It's going to be the same broken record, which explains why Trump is so popular. It's going to be the same broken record, another Washington inside, arrogant, holier than thou. Everybody is equal, but some are more equal than others. Animal Farm, progressive elitist. Coming to power, and this, in Obama's case, the half-white Obama, the so-called first, it was the first black president, even though his mother was white. In Hillary's case, it'll be the first woman president, even though she did more than anyone to cover up her so-called husband Bill's, all his sexual escapades, which are well known. She denigrates, the very women she's out there, she says, to protect, and, the whole abortion, the radical abortion thing, the Margaret Sanger Awards, I don't want to say funny, it's not really funny, but ironic that, here she is, Miss Black Lives Matter, and I'm for black people, because she wants the black vote, but she'll walk away with the Margaret Sanger Award proudly and flash it in front of the radical feminists, and while she sticks her middle finger in the air to the blacks for accepting something called the Margaret Sanger Award, whose goal in life was to eviscerate, in her own words, imbeciles, morons, misfits, human weeds, and Negroes. Inspiration.
Right.
And we talked through that before. Inspiration to Adolf Hitler. I mean, she was the ultimate purveyor of the Aryan race and the American eugenics movement, which is covered in my book. This Margaret Sanger. So you have Hillary, the Margaret Sanger Award winner. I want to say I would laugh at all this.
It was going to destroy the world, if it wasn't going to destroy the world and make it worse by all this happening.
You say something like that, basically what's happening is her controllers, the real controllers of this world, Satan's minions, they want the chaos. They love this conflict. They love Americans hating each other and tax the so-called rich and the class envy and the hatred between immigrants and American citizens, young and old. They love all this conflict because they feed on the chaos. They want the chaos. Chaos is how they're ultimately going to control the masses, and they know that. You know, the tax-exempt foundations, you know, it's the same names, Rothschild, the descendants, the Rockefeller family, the Morgans, the ones that gave us the Federal Reserve System, which allows them to control the money supply. They're playing us like violins, and these politicians, you know, the whole lot of them are nothing but a bunch of jerk-offs. With the media running cover for them, and somebody comes out and actually exposes what's going on, they're either called conspiracy kooks, or it's called McCarthyism. The great Joe McCarthy, who really exposed a lot of these tax-exempt foundations. In his case, the problem was, he dug into something that he wasn't supposed to, and the controlled media came in and just lambasted him.
Now Biden, he throws his hat in the ring because Hillary's untrustworthiness. Is that going to cause Bernie Sanders to get the nomination if Biden gets in, or you don't think Biden's going to get in?
Who cares?
Who cares? Another Obama supporter, same gender, same platform, right?
Yeah, look, you're going from Bozo the Clown to the Barks Brothers. I mean, who cares? I mean, Biden, Sanders, all these goofballs, these were on the Republican side. Who cares? You got Abbott and Costello, the Marx Brothers, and Bozo the Clown. Really, that's ultimately what this comes down to. What this country needs is a George Washington or somebody to come in and really save it, or George Patton at this point. And it's just not going to happen because they wouldn't get the support anyway. It's just not going to happen. I mean, the country's doomed, to be quite honest. If we're relying on one of these people to think we're going to save us, and I love all these people, 2016 is our last chance. 2012 was our last chance. 2028 was our last chance. We're out of last chances. We're done. It'd be quite simple. And I hate to say it, but it's just, I don't know what else to say.
All right, so Rob, any other news you've seen in the media that you've been tweeting out or different things that have surprised you this week? These are the things that surprised me so far on the show. Anything that surprised you that you want to tell our audience?
Actually, Neil, I got to be honest with you. Nothing surprises me at this point. I mean, I usually watch the news, the mainstream news, just to see, really tragic events. If anything really tragic happened, but other than that, nothing surprises me anymore. I mean, look at this whole ISIS situation, for instance. I mean, it's basically common knowledge. I mean, even politicians are coming out and saying if the United States funded and founded ISIS. I mean, it's before that was the realm of conspiracy kooks, but just think about that for a second. Just stop and think about that. The United States is basically responsible for this so-called group called ISIS. I mean, in the old days, that was called treason. I mean, if we're supposed to have a war on terror, and they are the terrorists, and here we are funding them and arming them, with incompetency at best, with outright treason at worst, and I happen to think it's the latter, but it's surreal. I mean, it that should surprise us. It should shock us, but unfortunately, it doesn't because people are just they're zapped. People are just they're shell shocked. Again, it's just like my favorite movie, They Live. Everybody's just walking around in this fog.
Right, right.
And that's just to answer your question, nothing at this point surprises me, and everything is happening according to plan, politically, bread and circuses, the old Roman Empire, in our cases, and in case of the United States today, it's EBT cards and video entertainment, adult cartoons. So it's just the same, Book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same concepts, just in our case, in an accelerated and an amplified mode.
All right, so anything else I would say, I'm thinking anything else is interesting. I might go into some specifics
about education at the end, because you now have that platform to talk about the Democratic thing, the Republicans, how they're attacking each other. That's a big mistake too, right? They should be attacking policy, not personality.
Yeah. How many Republicans? I mean, for example, you got like 20 Republicans all attacking each other, and then obviously it's a manipulation. Look at Chris Christie, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. I mean, the guy's got what, like 0.5% or something. It's just like, guy, just drop out, forget it. You're nothing. You can't even win in your own state, and you're gonna try and woo the whole country into voting for you, but he gets to get on stage, and they basically get to tear each other. Let's just step out for a second and pretend that these elections actually matter. And then look at what the media, look at what a joke this is. Now, you got these Republicans, right? And Republicans are supposed to be the intolerant ones and the close-minded ones and the rich white guys. And one of the leading Republicans, one happens to be black, in a case with Ben Carson, a very accomplished, a neurosurgeon. I mean, the guy's just brilliant. And Carly Fiorina. Now, you have, and I hate to even say this, but I'm just responding to the idiocy that our so-called political debate and political system has become. So you have all these people debating, okay? And in the case of the Republican Party, I mean, my favorite candidate, a guy that I would wholly support is a gentleman by the name of Alan Keyes. Okay, he ran against, the Bush, back in the...
Right, yeah.
That to me, I mean, that man right there, he's the only one of this whole, in my generation, in my lifetime, that I would support, that would give this country a legitimate shot. But he's not going anywhere. I mean, he happens to be black, but that's beside the point. But that's the mentality that you have to approach us with. But just look, I mean, Republicans are out there debating, agree or disagree, but what they're doing, and of course they're setting up Trump to fail. They hate Trump. They hate America.
Right, exactly.
Trump stands for America. So the Republicans are out there, basically beating each other down. And meanwhile, Hillary, who should be in jail, for all her crimes with these emails, and all the other stuff, but just that alone, I mean, the classified information she was passing around unsecured. I mean, he said like General Petraeus, I mean, he was basically convicted for, he had like unsecured, I think it was, couple of letters in his desk or something that his mistress had access to. And I'm not saying the guy shouldn't have been convicted, but what Hillary's done is 100 times worse, and yet she gallivants around the country unhindered and and non-resistance by our so-called free and open press. So when you step back and look at it, it's a joke. I mean, who's her opposition? This dolt Bernie Sanders and this anti-intellectual Joe Biden. Joe Biden, again, it's Abbott and Costello with the Marx Brothers. But again, there's no democratic debate, so obviously... I mean,
yeah, that's next week. That's next Tuesday, Robin. I know you'll be tuning in, right?
What's that?
Democratic debate.
Really? I haven't even known. I mean, what are they going to... what are they going to argue about? Who's going to?
Biden might be putting himself in Thursday, but yes, next Tuesday.
Oh, there is a Democratic debate, but who's involved? I mean, Hillary and Bernie Sanders. I mean,
Bernie Sanders.
You got this guy O'Malley, right? And there's
O'Malley and Chafee. That's
and who?
Lincoln Chafee.
I mean, come on. You talk about a bunch of irrelevant clowns. So these people are going to get up there and debate. I mean, it's all a setup to make Hillary look good. They're just rubber stamping this whole thing. It's a joke. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's just really sad that these are the people presented to us that are supposed to save us and that they're... they're taken seriously, and I guarantee the people running the show are literally laughing at us in this country, the so-called imbecile majority or the petty bourgeoisie, which is how the elites, I mean the real elites, not these jerk-offs you see on the news, how they look at us. They hate us, and they want us gone, and I mean that literally in the case of the radical environmental movement. And that's really really what's going on here.
So you see the Democratic and then the Republicans, we need to weed out the competition. Who would you say is interesting to you? I know you have no candidates endorsed, but who do you see that somebody that seems presidential to you? A lot of these candidates don't seem presidential to me at all, either, sir.
No, they don't. And you know, there's a certain decorum, there's a certain respect that have gone on with the office of the presidency. And you know, in the past, but again, it's becoming more and more of just a sick joke. I mean, in the case of look at Bill Clinton, okay, and look what he was doing, which was really borderline pedophilia, okay, in the Oval Office, okay, and he should have been bounced out of the Oval Office and bounced into irrelevancy 20 years ago. Yet the man, so-called man, is still running around the country getting $50,000 or whatever it is, and his wife, the so-called, you know, women's rights, who any woman would have dumped this scumbag 20 years ago or before that, but she knows she needs him around to acquire her political power. So it's just, not just an example, but it's just really become... And Obama's just taking it to a new low. I mean, his what he's doing and the people he has into the White House, it's just, it's become a sick joke. I mean, long gone are the days, you know, your George Washingtons, Abraham Lincolns, and these
right.
sorts of people. It's just gotten progressively worse. And right now it's just, and again, just like with the media, it's a reflection on the country as a whole, and it's just, it's really sad. The greatest nation, or what was the greatest nation in the history of the earth, has this menu of media-supported and media-engendered buffoons to choose from going forward. And like I was saying before, the people that really run the show are laughing at us, and I have to believe that literally, laughing at us.
Definitely. So this week, I think there's nothing really else in the news. I guess I'll jump to this, but let's just talk about specifically enough something that's not come up. I found it on, again, I think it was Fox News. A priest who's part of the Doctrine of the Faith, a bishop, has openly said he's gay and has a lover and has been terminated. Wow, has things really changing in this agenda coming out? We have Germany, where a lot of bishops are calling for, again, same-sex marriage, leading to, again, this whole family thing happening in Rome. Is this shock you, Rob, this is happening now?
No, it doesn't shock me, because, if you read First Timothy chapter 4, Second Timothy chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 2, this falling away, Romans chapter 2, this falling away, this apostasy, it's predicted in the Bible, it's human nature, and the Catholic Church, I mean, I think, you know, I've stated my position with the Catholic Church, and organized religion, a lot of its offshoots in general, the Anglican Church, the Presbyterian Church, and again, not to denigrate its members, but the upper echelons they've acquired this prestige and this power. For example, in the case of the Pope, since he's the most visible, and they've taken on human characteristics, okay, and this is just a great falling away. I mean, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and unfolding right before our eyes. I mean, the so-called Christian Church is endorsing homosexual marriage. That speaks for itself.
Right, and the amazing thing is the Pope hasn't said it. The Pope, again, talking about family, marriage between a man and a woman. This is just, again, outside of it. Controlling the masses, again, the Catholic Church doesn't want to control as much as government wants to control. But this is literally turning upside down people's decision-making process. It's okay. Same-sex marriage, a bunch of things, Rob, are going in the direction of whatever feels good. And if we don't hurt somebody else, who cares, right?
Well, that's the thing. On the surface, it looks like you're not hurting somebody. But this is how the devil works. I mean, yea, hath God said. It's not the case of Satan. It's done with a mixture of lies and truth. I mean, you know, it's apparently, you know, it sounds good, you know, and most Americans, you know, they take the cop out, well, you know, if you're not hurting me, it's okay, and in that case of gay marriage. And look, I'm not denigrating homosexuals. I mean, all of sin and come short of the glory of God, you know, Romans chapter 3, you know, so I'm not being hypocritical here. I'm just saying, you know, John chapter 8, I mean, let he who's without sin cast the first stone. But as far as, you know, Christians do need to speak out. I mean, albeit it's going to be in an imperfect manner. I mean, in my case, you know, imperfect, anybody else imperfect. But the point is, in the case of something like homosexual marriage, I mean, it sounds good on the surface. But what's really happening is the institution of marriage and therefore the family
right.
being cracked.
It's being destroyed. The family's being destroyed brick by brick. So once you have a family, what happens, Rob?
Well, when you don't have a family, you have what's happening with the black race in this country, okay, which is the so-called great society. When you take away the family, you take away the father, okay, what you have is a bunch of government-dependent welfare addicts and drug addicts, the so-called government plantation, okay, which is what's happened to the black American. Basically, the black family has been destroyed. Now they're coming for the family in general, okay? And the radical homosexual movement, who are nothing but a bunch of useful idiots, they're nothing but a battering ram of the heavy arm of government to come after, religion, you know, the Christian religion in particular, free speech, and the institution of marriage. Because, look, I mean, once you have, I mean, it sounds good, a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Once you take away that insect cornerstone from society, then the combinations become endless. Then you have polygamy. Then you have bestiality. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. The floodgates are open. Marriage, and therefore the family, becomes nullified. You have an extrapolation of what's happened to the black race, to society at large, and the government moves in to fill that void where the family filled that, you know, had that control, and you know, the father was a disciplinarian. That's gone. Again, another aspect is the radical feminist movement. Okay, that's just the goal is to destroy the family. It's not about women's rights. It's not about homosexual rights. It's about the destruction of the family, the destruction or the distinction of the differences between male and female. Okay, you have this transgenderism and all this other crap going on. And what people don't realize, if you read Orwell's 1984, if you haven't read it, go back and read it again. And of course, you have central government control. But what was absolutely huge in Orwell's book was the destruction of the family, the destruction of marriage, and the lack of distinction between the sexes. Okay, male and female became essentially the same thing, okay? And some people are probably, oh, this guy's, you know, one of these barbarians, man, and women should be home barefoot and pregnant. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's basic biological and mental differences, not that one is better than the other, okay? I mean, 1 Peter chapter 2, God's not a respecter of persons, and, you know, quoting to Galatians, okay, all are equal in the eyes of God. So basically, male is not male or female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, all is one in the body of Christ, okay? So everybody's equal, okay? But there are differences.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying. Once you get rid of those differences and you get rid of marriage and men and women become the same, you have this vanilla socialist control vis-a-vis Orwell's 1984, which is really what's happening behind the scenes here. And then again, the radical homosexual movement, and I feel sorry for these people, and I will pray for them and that they'll come to see the light. But right now, they're nothing but the figurative battering ram of a heavy-handed, iron-fisted Orwellian government that Obama and his minions and his controllers are trying to implement in this country.
All right, so the place we can find information on you is go to @RobRoselli on Twitter. Go to boxofsunglasses.com right now and purchase your book. Or tweet you questions @RobRoselli. And you're liking the interaction you're getting with your followers, aren't you, on a daily basis, getting on Twitter and having conversations with them at sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, look, I do the best I can. I do work full time. I don't get paid for this. My only source of income is the sale of my books, and I We hope people, I mean, I don't advertise, you're not going to get pop-up ads, you're not going to get these annoying side ads and survival and all this other stuff. And so, but yeah, boxofsunglasses.com, all the information's there, the tweets, you know, I'll try and I'll put out a tweet a day and I'll try to respond to as many people as possible. And then Neil, again, you're helping me out, you know, Neil, you're helping me out with the tweets and you're tweeting out information on my behalf, and I appreciate that. But yes, you know, try and tweet, and I'll do the best I can to respond and get back to you. That's the best I can say right now, and I appreciate, you know, whatever support I'm getting.
All right. Well, again, good talking, Rob, and next week some more talking. But who knows what the news will be. We'll be getting ready to gear up for the Democratic debate, and, you know, there'll be more crazy stuff going on in this world. So take care, Rob, and we will talk again. We're going to talk again next week. Take care, man.
Big news. The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gigs for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs for $80, we'll give it to you for 40. And we won't force you to watch video in low def. Oh, and one more thing. We'll even pay your switching fees up to $650 per line so you can switch to the Sprint LTE Plus network today. Visit a Sprint store or sprint.com/save50%.
Offer coverage not available everywhere for discounted phones. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, and premium content. Subject to new line $36 activation fee. Credit valid port-in. Plans may not be exact match. See website for eligible plans. Offer ends 1/7/16, savings through 1/8/18. Exclusions and restrictions apply. Contract by OD. Reward card requires online registration.